You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And as always, I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in so that our audience of supporters continues to grow. Now, if they live outside the area, they can tune in by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, and we will send out a rebroadcast of today's show later today. So if you want to get on that e-list, join the thousands of people who receive our broadcast each and every week. Well, I receive a lot of good publicity from people in all of my travels. And I have to tell you, this week was a very special week. We had hundreds of singers in Philadelphia for a convention. It was beautiful. We had all sorts of activities. There was the three events that I attended on Memorial Day. And I have to tell you, I did give out our flyers to all the people on the parade. I gave out about 950 of the flyers. So Rich Larkin and Mark, your faces are everywhere. People know who you are, and that's a wonderful thing. I hope they take it home and put it on the refrigerator and continue to support us. Today, when I came into the studio, I had a very special surprise, everybody. Sometimes these surprises happen from nowhere. And it was a very distinguished member of our panel from Florida who came up to bring us a little ray of sunshine. You know, Larkin, we haven't had sunshine for days and days. It was all drizzle and clouds. You came today, and we at least have a peak of sunshine.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my God. When I came in with our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, is sitting Larkin Connolly, as you know, as the small business advocate and a mentor for SCORE. Also joining us today is the ever-popular Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and also the very famous Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And Mark, I have to tell you that we had a number of those choirs from Buffalo, New York, from Chittawaga, from Buffalo. Everybody knows Mark Andel. Everybody and their grandmother knows Mark Andel. They've been to some celebration at your store. Oh, it was just a great, great event. Everything was beautiful, and I gave out our flyers. There were 260 singers at the convention, plus all the guests. So it was really a beautiful, beautiful event. So my compliments, and I hope that we gain some new listeners to the broadcast as a result of these singers coming in from all over Connecticut, in Massachusetts, Canada. It was unbelievable. It was just a beautiful event. And you hear 250 people singing all at one time at the banquet and at the mass in the morning and also at their concert afterward. It was really beautiful. So my compliments to the Polish Singers Alliance of America, who had a great convention in Philadelphia at the Sheridan Society. Also, I want to thank Mr. James Stuber, the author of a very good book with a very good message, What If Things Were Made in America? Again, he was our guest last week. And you can check out the book and you purchase a copy of the book and help him to further his efforts. There's a link on the right side of the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. While we're at it, I just wanted to let you know that we are a few million dollars away from becoming a nation $20 trillion in debt. So do check out the debt clock and see what is going on. But today I'm going to ask our panelists to tell us how they are seeing things, because I've seen a lot of good things in my travels the last few days, talking with people, and I see that positive networking always helps a cause if you stay focused and consistent. I'm going to begin with our special studio guest today, Dr. Larkin Connolly. How was your Memorial Day, and what are you hearing in the background that's happening in the USA?
So, you know, the best part of showing up at the studio is, and you'll, Rich, you'll get a kick out of this. I came in sporting a tan. And that's almost unfair. I wore a white shirt yesterday, and everybody was saying, well, have you been on vacation? I said, no, man, this is life in Florida. This is the way it is. So,
right.
Larkin in su casa. I'm here, baby. I've got a special thing that I found this morning for Mark Andel that he'll get a kick out of. I had a meeting early this morning, a breakfast meeting with the Community College of Philadelphia. And I'm meeting with a handful of their program directors, and I made a comment about the trades and the fact that the college, high schools certainly aren't stepping up to the plate. Why don't community colleges? And the one lady in charge of corporate programming, I'm not exactly, said, handed me a flyer and said, "What are you talking about? Stuff like this?" And I looked at it and I went, "Get the heck!" I said, This is kind of amazing. The headline on it is a dynamic industry with endless possibilities. And it said that this program is one of the advanced manufacturing programs offered by Community College of Philadelphia. It combines classroom and hands-on training to provide students with fundamental skills needed to begin high-paying career in this field. And I looked at it and there's a guy with a mask on, and I said, "You have got to be kidding. You can go to the Community College of Pennsylvania, my dear friend, Mr. Andel, and you can get a degree in welding technology."
Excellent. Very, very good.
Yep.
Things are changing, guys.
It's available. It says in Philadelphia's entry-level wages average about $18 an hour. But there are more complex roles like underwater welding and specialized certifications that demand even higher salaries. So, it's an early start, but it's a start.
You know, I want to add to one thing to that, Larkin, is that for a long time, many of the schools were sort of laying back on what they were trying to teach and go outreach to people. In the last few years, I'm proud to say that I have a young gentleman who's here for the summer working on the project, looking up all the trade schools in and around the city of Philadelphia. They have expanded. They are moving in all directions. We are getting ready for a big comeback. We have to be the mind and the conscience of all of this continuing. One of the biggest things when I was in the Bridesburg Memorial Day parade is people were saying that they were very disappointed that there is really no push by businesses, by labor, and by elected officials to move this thing in the right direction. It's been going this way for years. And we're going to talk about some of those other things and how merchandisers have to be brought to their knees at some point because they are controlling how we do things.
What essentially was said by this group of people from the community college was that it's high time that respect be put back into the trades, that the level of creativity has been ignored, and that an educated, well-talented man with a welding gun in his hand can do some pretty phenomenal things.
Right. I agree 1,000%. Larkin, excellent report. And let us return to another great person, Dr. Andel. How was everything in your area?
Excellent. Mike, is Rich on also?
Yes, he is.
Rich and Larkin. And Henry, welcome. Now, great weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Again, we honor our veterans and servicemen and women every day, but great weekend. Larkin, great to hear when we hear these programs starting now because, again, I'm very busy, Mike. You wanted a report with General Welding and Fabricating, our oil and mining work, our military simulators. We're just busy. And finding welders, I just had an interview before I came on the radio. Young guy, 24 years old, had went to Jamestown Community College, so very similar program, Larkin. And boy, does that help, because these people then have the basic skills to get started if they have the want and the energy. But great to hear that these programs are happening, because, again, bringing up skilled trades, very, very difficult to find a worker. It was neat. I actually, on one of our bus tours last week, I mentioned at the end of it, and by the way, if anybody's got a welder, and one of these grandmas stood up and said, I've got a son, and lo and behold, does he show up today. So wherever we're trying to talk and gather these people, we've brought them from Penn State. We got Will Stock that joined us for the summer in between his four-year program for welding and engineering. He moved up to Buffalo. So we're taking them from wherever, but finding workers, Mike, is still a challenge. But Made in America is very alive on the Made in America side. People just get it. They've been coming in. We're a destination, so a Memorial Day weekend brings the visitors from all around. Niagara Falls, my son Jake Andel runs the second floor there at Niagara Falls 1. And people come, and the visitors, and, you know, they believe Made in America matters, and they want to take a quality product back to their country. Once you educate them that the product they're taking back maybe from their own country, they want nothing to do with it. They want to take a quality product from our country back. And again, the Made in America symbol stands for quality. So it's alive and well, and we're just having a lot of fun. It's bus season, and people are coming in all the time.
You know, Mark, a lot of people were talking to me about you specifically at this convention this past weekend. And they said, you know, everybody thought that it would be a fad. You know, American made, we'll see what we can do, get some publicity from it. But it's amazing to everybody how long it has gone on and how the number of products has continued to grow. One of the things that I have to mention is business owners that are looking to help our cause continue to report to me that the merchandisers are where we have to focus a lot of effort, because they are very heavily invested in manufacturing facilities over the world, not in America, but all around the world. And they think that it's in their best interest to keep it that way. So they downplay every imaginable program, every effort to bring back jobs, promote the American-made label. They don't want to be bothered, because it brings to it the attention of the public that there is too much Made in America missing from their stores. It's just not there.
So, you know, in an effort to provide solutions, and Mark, and I know we've talked around this a lot, and I know Store and Store is one of your initiatives, but it would seem to me that as dead as catalogs are now, printed catalogs, it would be of some good if we could find a site or a catalog, something publishable that people can look at, that can say, okay, I want to buy a green widget. They go to a Made in America site and find, you know, type in green widgets. And if you sell green widgets, they can now take a look at a green widget that's made in America. If there's not a green widget there, then there's obviously not a green widget available in Made America. The interesting adjunct to that, the add-on to that, would be how many hits did that site have looking for green widgets? Because it might be time for somebody to consider making green widgets in America.
Very well said. And that's the way we are doing. We're trying to create that sense of urgency for people. And I want to thank Larkin and Rich and Mark and Henry and all of the people out there. Sometimes after the program, I get some emails back from people, and they really like what they hear. And they also say, keep it up, because the business leaders have to hear this message. What do you have to add to our broadcast today, Dr. Richard Loges?
Michael and Larkin, yeah, it's nice to show up into the Northeast sometimes, isn't it, with a nice tan? And,
if you saw Mike Sessions' email yesterday, They're planning my retirement party or something.
I'm not sure. Working.
What the?
He never knew.
You know what? I'm going to have a retirement party, and you're all going to stand around looking at my dead body drinking beer.
I thought he never told us.
It sounds like someone's trying to get rid.
Sessions is trying to push me under the bus, and to add a woman to the. We could add a woman without.
We're probably next, Rich. You're next, maybe.
Let me tell you, if there's anyone to be the first to go on this show, it's going to be me. That's fine. I acknowledge that.
Well, you're earning your way out, though. I mean,
yeah, true. True. Yeah, I'm doing it the, movie, old, I'm doing it the old-fashioned way. I'm earning my departure, right? My exile here. It's nice to walk in with the tan. I mean, I was looking at your guys' weather up in Philly, Michael, and it's been pretty dumb recently.
It's been vicious up here. I don't know who waved that magic wand, but they didn't wave it in Philadelphia, tri-state area direction.
Yeah, well, I guess, global warming, it gets hotter, global warming, it gets cooler, whatever, whatever the people perpetrating that stuff has
See,
to.
Rich,
which, that's
even bring
funny
up my
as a
weather.
Side note, Michael, it's all over the news today about the president pulling out of this Paris climate change treaty and watching all these European leaders so-called going crazy. And my first question was, when in the course of ruining Europe did they all become climate science experts? Like, in what part of that let's ruin Europe training did they all become expert weathermen and women where they could inspect and analyze 5 billion years worth of science data? I mean, I don't know how to do that. Larkin, you know how to do that? Mark, in your welding, when you learned how to weld, you also learned how to analyze the polar ice caps, right? And figure out 5 billion years of weather there, right? You were able to do that, weren't you?
See, you're earning your way off this program so fast, it's not even funny.
Michael said had a sense of urgency. I believe have a urgency with a sense of urgency. And I think, Michael, I think it's great that people will listen and call in and say, keep it up, and we need this message. But ultimately, it's always about what we do, right? And Larkin, you're always talking about, and correctly so, about solutions. Solutions it means action. Solutions means educating yourself and being objective and showing up and taking action and being persistent. And we've got a pretty monumental election to fall back on as a blueprint for what it looks like when the people decide the outcome, not the Democrat media industrial complex, not the political parties. I mean, the Republican Party was as Larkin, they were as much against Trump as they were anyone, right? So it's like you can't look at you can't look at the Republican Party and say, wow, you guys really
won a big one there. Yeah,
Will,
right.
You guys did it. No. So, will of the people is not, it's not the let the parties dictate, not let the media dictate, not let all these forces dictate. It's the will of the people. So they got up, they showed up, and they voted. They had a say. Democratically. Well, Michael, that's what has to happen in business.
Now, let me ask you this, Rich. What exactly happened with the announcement that the president was not pleased with the Paris Accord?
I'm just reading the details as they're coming in. It's no surprise. I mean, I don't think this is any surprise. I mean, it's not like anyone should be sitting here and thinking, wow, that's a shock. Decided that it's not worth America's while. And, I mean, the president, he ran. That was actually a big part of his campaign. See, that's the thing that people have to understand about this, that for the most part, what the president is doing, except for some things that are still working out, well, for the most part, what he said he was going to do or consider doing, he's actually doing it. So that's why you have an election, so people can go and say, okay, well, I would like for that to happen. I'd like for this person to fulfill those promises. So, in 2008, 2012, Larkin, I said the same thing to Republicans that I now say to Democrats, and it's you lost.
I know the whole
let's work together and politicians are elected and they're democratically there, but and yes, the Republicans showed there were certain parts of the party that showed that they were going to fight Obama tooth and nail, and Obama didn't, you know, he fought back, right? So he was, he said, no, I won, you lost. So that's the new, you know, that's what I say now to the Democrats. So what the president is doing is, Democrats had their shot, right? Now they're going to get another chance next year in 2018, and they'll get another shot in 2020. Now the dirty little secret, Larkin, that isn't talked about on the Democrat media industrial complex is that since Obama was first elected, across the country, the Democrats have lost over 1,000 federal and state legislative seats. The Republicans, for the first time ever, having a federal and state majority, did not happen overnight.
Nope.
That didn't just happen like, oh, I woke up and it happened. No, it's been a gradual, progressive, no pun intended, slow burn toward the fact that legislatively, the Democrats have been losing legislative power throughout the country.
So, but I think, Rich, you got to be careful. A large percentage of the vote that Trump received was from disenfranchised and disenchanted Democrats that were just not really happy with the way their class. And there was also a huge percentage that wanted change. They just need, you know, we've been doing this for 16 years and it's not working. We have amassed a larger debt than all of the presidents prior to Obama put together. Something has to give. Something has to change. So at the same time, I would not parade around and say that Republicans have won a lot. Republicans have been conceded to by virtue of the fact that people are unhappy with the other side that's been in control, at least on the federal government basis for the last 16 years. You know, I don't understand why the president backed out of the Paris Treaty. I really don't. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I am not a tree hugger. I believe that there is a balance for our climate, and that I think we have to respect the planet that we live on, and there are times when we don't. And so the pragmatic party, which is getting so much closer every day to becoming a reality, takes the stand that, you know, if you want to pare back the EPA, pare back the EPA because you're paring back all of the federal garbage that's out there that are people standing around doing nothing but getting a paycheck. Take all of that fat out of it. But the EPA still has to have some authority and some power to make sure that, you know, to be the marshals, to make sure that we're taking care of this planet. And, you know, I would not jump in the river that runs by my house. The St. John's River is a beautiful, beautiful body of water. But you couldn't get me to stick my toe in that river. It is that polluted. That's not taking care of our planet.
No, you're right, Larkin. And I would say, not to speak for anyone, but the vast majority of reasonable Americans agree that there has to be oversight. Not only in the environment and elsewhere. What the president ran on, and I think would help propel this movement, was that there is a flat out, and I'm hesitant and loath to use the word, but essentially a war on regulations, right? What was the campaign promise? For every one new regulation, two are rolled back. Yeah, no doubt, Larkin. And what I'm saying, of course, again, for people, so they, if someone's listening for the first time today, should not construe what I'm saying as some kind of cheerleading for the Republican Party. Second dumbest group of people in America are all those never-Trump conservatives who stay home on Election Day and don't realize that. And I tell people, when you're a conservative who stays home and vote, and you vote, you just hand your vote to the Democrat, please don't threaten me with your brand of conservatism.
One of the things I want to just mention here is people are going to be hearing about America backing out of the accord and all. Here's one of the problems that we've had from the beginning of this whole effort, and that is, what is the end result? Number one, we're supposed to accomplish what? And in 3 years, we will have accomplished what we started 3 years before that. There's none of that. It's all this nice guy stuff. Believe it or not, when the people come out to look at the buildings in various cities, the pollution from the China mills is coming through the atmosphere and still acid raining on our monuments and on our rooftops and the beautiful buildings that we have in Philadelphia and other places. That doesn't, because they made an accord in Paris, doesn't mean that's going to change the way things are happening in Vietnam and China and everything else.
I understand, Michael, and I agree with you. But at the same time, every country has got to be able to make itself accountable and be willing to sit down and talk about how do we take care of this planet. You know, withdrawing ourselves back to our own shores and talking about the fact that we've got all these initiatives for clean water and clean air are fine. But if China isn't talking to us, they're going to dump all kind of garbage on top of us, and there's nothing we
can
do about
it. What I would like to see is to bring for the president to invite all world leaders, a leader from every country, to come to Washington at our invitation, and let's talk about it. Get C-SPAN or something to invite everybody to see what this one is going to do, and let the person, without any anger in it, let them know that the most of the world's pollution is coming from this particular industry located in your country or whatever.
That's a great idea, but that's what the Paris Accord is.
But it's not going to bring in these other countries because they refuse to participate.
Yes, but in mass, Europe and North America and South America standing up to the rest of the world is a bigger baseball bat than that swung by Donald Trump. It's just that simple. He keeps on withdrawing. You know, if you really want to talk about the challenges that we have beyond our environment, get the National Geographic talks about Africa, and the last continent to be civilized, and to have people come in and industry built and the whole 10 yards, and the fact that China is buying up huge chunks of that continent, and they are all over every country in there, very quietly sitting behind, waiting for the time when they can essentially pull the strings necessary to have complete control of the African continent. And we're sitting around.
And Larkin, that's also happening, I have to tell you, in the European Union. As people are retiring, they have well-spoken Chinese people going in looking to buy those businesses up. I had a very interesting situation happen to me 1 week ago where a company in Bucks County had moved out of Bucks County 5 years ago. They took a five-year contract to make their jackets overseas. The five-year contract is coming up the early part of 18. I talked to those people and they said, we would be interested to bring that back to America. The building is still standing there, mothballed, while the company owner sits in an office sending out all the products once they're delivered from Vietnam, and the people in America are not employed. The Vietnam's people are employed, and his building, he's still paying the taxes on a empty building 5 years later. Now, I had a nice conversation. He said, we at this point, when our contract is done, we are considering to bring it back if we could get some tax reductions here in the USA. I said, well, this is the urgency that the American people have to talk about. And as far as bringing all the businesses together, when was the last time, Larkin, or any Mark, or have you heard of a national business convention to bring people together to say, how are we going to do things to bring back the best technology possible here to the United States, make a competitive product of everything available right now in America's stores? I don't know of anybody.
Well, Mark, you have the friend in National Manufacturers Association that was on your film.
Yes.
Yes. National Manufacturing Association, Peter, I believe, and he does a lot of work with trying to get manufacturers in the Buffalo area together, just like you're talking about, Mike, but we do need it on a bigger scale. I truly believe Made in America making things in your own country, that can-do spirit, Larkin, you support that entrepreneurial spirit, gives people a purpose. And if we can get that rolling again, I think it'll take care of 90% of our problems.
Absolutely.
Giving people a purpose, giving them a way to make a living, feed, and be self-sufficient. It's so big, and again, we talked about it. The consumer can continue to drive this, but we need to keep talking about it.
You know,
it.
Mark, I want to add something to that, and I know that there are a certain amount of people that hate when I say this who are in the industry of human services, and that is many of these people over the last 20 years have been bringing people to food stamps and everything else because there are no jobs. I think those people should be on the payrolls of bringing back the idea of self-sufficiency, bringing back jobs, because not only are they working to keep people on non-self-sufficiency programs, after they're done, they're going to be given a pension and everything else. And that's just not what America was built upon. And that's not what we're looking to do as the American people. As our young people graduate from college, you hear the statistics. It's little better than it was last year. But majority of the kids still need a place to hang their hat and collect a paycheck.
You know, we talk about solutions, and I've said all along that the problem that our society has in America is the collapse of the American family. And there's one reason why that happens. There are many reasons that feed into it that exacerbate the issue and make it, that much more complicated. But the one is daddy and mommy don't have a job.
That's right.
Daddy and mommy can't pay the rent. Daddy and mommy can't buy the food. Daddy and mommy can't provide for their offspring. And what does daddy do? Rather than come home empty-handed every night, he books. I mean, he takes off, and the family collapses. And so really the fundamental answer to at least tackling that family problem is put people back to work, get them off the stoops, get them off of the welfare payrolls and put them back to work.
You're so right. I want to just add this before I go to you. If we at least had national leaders, I don't want to say elected or we had national leaders in business and labor and all worried about bringing back the jobs, we would have some progress, but we don't have that. We have the mass media mumbling and grumbling about every idiotic thing they can come up with just to fill airtime, but never a moment as to talk about the family, the importance of earning a living, the importance of having a skill, the importance of getting up every day to know what you're going to do and what you're going to accomplish. And then at the end of the week, you will be given a paycheck. There's not there. It's sit back and yes.
Yeah, Mike, guys, I was over the weekend. I took the kids for an ice cream down by the lake here and had the shirt on, Made in America store. And, of course, the back says, because China's a long drive to work. And I had forgot. I've got it on all the time. And the guy behind me goes, boy, ain't that the truth. And we start talking, and he was with Ingersoll Rand for 40 years. And the family, how these good manufacturing jobs or good jobs gave families, generations of families, jobs, and how a lot of it's being just outsourced, and they're breaking down these companies. So it was neat to see, and boy, our statement, because China's a long drive to work, is true. I mean, we're doing it, we do the radio show, we're doing the Made in America store, we just have to continue to let people know their power, because you have to really respect who's tied to that piece of product you buy and the livelihoods. It's not just about the price. It's about how many people feed off that job. And we talk about it all the time. We just have to continually educate the people and make them realize that their purchase is really affecting a lot of people from not having a handout, being able to support their family and being middle class.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, whenever these bus tours come to historic Philadelphia, and even like this convention last weekend of the singers, all of that adds to a positive economy. It's really interesting to hear. I had the opportunity to be with the Singers Alliance for 3 days. They had those people work hard. They have jobs. Some are retired. Others had to get back, couldn't wait to get back to their job on Tuesday after the holiday. This is what it's all about. Our media is telling us all the negatives, but they're not bringing any people to the table that are giving us solutions. I would like to see, I mean, I don't know who's going to do it, if it's Trump or whoever, is going to say, I want to have an international climate accord in Washington, D.C. I want to bring this to the world's attention, but I want every country to participate. Those countries that don't participate will be noted accordingly. Because right now, it's the G7 and it's all these exclusive clubs coming together. I think it's time, really, for us to talk about world jobs, jobs in America, and making the world a better place to live.
Yeah, you know, we have the problem is, the problem that the EPA has had is that it has passed regulations, I say with quote marks, that cost small businesses jobs, profit, progress, and an ability to grow. And that's where they make their mistake. We can be great marshals and caretakers of our environment without having such negative effects on business. This anti-small business feeling that was just oozing out of Washington, D.C. for the last 8 years has somewhat subsided and gone away. But at the same time, I plead with Donald Trump not to take it completely to the other side of the pendulum swing. There are somewhere in the middle where we can make this work, not only for the profitability of small businesses, but also for the as caretakers of our environment.
Yeah, you know, Mark, and I'd like to add to that, because I'm actually went through that. You know, the EPA, learning when I started the business 20 something years ago about wetlands and mitigation. So I learned the hard way, but about 2008, I went to put up a new addition on general welding and fabricating, and I hit a problem. They got a buffer zone, and a lot of people don't realize the mitigation or the wetlands can now have a buffer zone around it. So if you got wetlands, you've got a buffer zone of 100 foot around that. Well, when I put the building up, I couldn't drive around the back side of it because I had this new buffer zone regulation. Then they made me accumulate my rainwater that used to go in the back, and the funny thing is it's just a swamp, and it's not affecting nobody. The water always went back there, but they made me take, to get 1 acre so I could drive around the building I'm in now, I needed to find 2 other acres somewhere else and create this new wetland area. And it was a mitigation. It's called 2-for-1. Well, it's 9 years later. I'm still involved with it, probably $250,000. Reseeded it 4 times, lowered the subsoil, take the soil out, lower the subsoil, lower it, raise it to try to get the 100 species of habitat to grow. And it's just really a waste of money and time, because what Mark Andel was doing wasn't affecting nothing else. So that's an example. I could have took $250,000 and a lot of time and bought manufacturing equipment, created jobs, and that's where it's out of control. And I got caught in this, and I'm still going with it. It's just incredible what they make you monitor it, the $2,000 to $3,000 a year fee to monitor and maintain it, and provide water for it. It's incredible what they put you through. So a lot of people don't realize. But then at the same token, I've got a can of tuna fish in my hand here called American tuna, because most people won't eat the tuna from overseas by China. I mean, a fish is a swimming filter. And I've got American tuna that's pole caught. And, it's basically traceable from the harvest vessel to the retail shelf. And that's why you need, there's places you need it, but it has to be controlled. It has to, it can't, it, there's got to be common sense involved with it.
Yes, and that's a perfect example, Mark. That's absolutely a perfect example. But you're right. At the same time, I don't want to eat a tuna fish sandwich and have my hair light up.
Right, you know? And boy, you know, it's scary, the waters over by China and whatnot.
Yep.
Yeah, I really think that we are discussing something very important to not only America, but to the world, because we want to make sure the world is the best place for all of our kids and our grandkids. But the most important thing is there has to be somebody to get those people together. You know, Mark, you mentioned something which I see often happening, even especially in human services. A person will be hired to do a job that has absolutely no way of understanding how to deal with people. They're just there because they know some friend, or and my cousin is the boss or whatever. That's not what it should be. When an person works for the EPA, they should have a degree in what they're doing, but they should often, more often than not, go and meet directly with the business people to see what exactly is happening. So the business person understands. You should know within the first 6 months, Mark, what is expected of you, because in most cases, you put out a lot of money. And how are you going to be benefiting from it? Is it just putting out money? Is that really hurting or helping the environment, what you're doing? Well, it's like when we had the convention here at the convention center of all the architects, they came to visit our exhibit hall, and they made a comment. If anyone feels that all of the stuff from the atmosphere is not coming over from China's way, they're really smoking the pipe.
Yeah. When you've got to collect your rainwater that was being fine, all your roof rainwater, and put a leach system in for it that costs hundreds of thousands, where the rainwater was going behind you into a swamp Mother Nature was taking care of, they need an evaluation team to come over and see if what you're doing really fits your business instead of wasting a businessman's money. I just think it's total common sense, and they need somebody to stand back and go, makes sense here, doesn't make sense here, let's not hurt this guy, let's work together, because I think we all want to do things safe and proper when it comes down to it, and there's ways to do that.
Well, the huge mistake that was made by the last administration and is almost being duplicated on the opposite end of the scale by the current administration is that they did not involve a businessman in their decision-making process. I don't know any businessman who would rather see his business. Now, the Washington, D.C. would tell you an entirely different story, but I don't know any businessman that would sacrifice his environment and sacrifice the future for his children and his children's children so that he could turn a profit today.
Exactly.
I don't think those people exist, and there are probably one or two of the dastardly people out there, but on a whole, business people are invested in the environment. They're invested in the economy. They're invested in the community, and they want to see it survive and sustain itself.
And absolutely, one of the big things, Mark, I'm sure you'll agree, is that too much regulation, where it's really not being proven that it's helping, is what drove many of the companies out of America. They just took the easy way out. When the merchandisers, the foreign merchandisers, came in and said, why should you go through all that effort when I can send you the product on the dock? You can then be just the distributor. I understand when people said to me many times, we just couldn't afford to do business with the endless growing regulations, the endless taxes, and all of the rigmarole of, you know, the unions and everything else coming down upon us.
And that's how smart the American voter is. They figured that out. They really did, and said it's time for change. We're going in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Larkin, you know, if I can just a point on this, Michael, you're going to talk about regulation. So, again, just not being partisan here, I'm looking just from a financial perspective, okay? Because money is a great equalizer when it comes to facts and dollars and cents. So, President Obama grew the federal government more than every president before him combined it. That's a fact. Correct, Larkin? That's a fact.
Yes.
That's a financial fact. And that's saying something, considering that President George W. Bush was a really big spender. That was the compassionate part, I guess, in the compassionate conservatism aspect of that. He was a really big spender, and I don't know if it's accurate to say that Bush Republicanism is kind of dead now, but irrespective of that, what isn't a theory is that President Obama grew the government more than every president before him combined by leaps and bounds. So now Americans looked around and said, well, did growing the government more than every president combined help our economy? Did it help the, you know, the regular middle class Joe and Josephine worker? And enough Americans said, no, it didn't. Now, of course, the gazillionaires did very well. Gazillionaires love Democrats because they love big government. Gazillionaires make a lot of money, Larkin, from those regulations. They make a lot of money from corporations, right? They make a lot of money from that big government. So, but the average, you know, your regular Joe and Josephine, working class family, trying to do right by their kids, pay their taxes, abide by the law, they looked around and said, you know, it's not working. So we need, to your point earlier, we need a change. And fair or not fair to the president now, he doesn't have a lot of margin of error to try to get this right. So, or at least get it in the right direction. Because if we want to talk about, Michael, you want to talk about taxes and also companies going overseas is a result of taxation, which is just another form of regulation. We just don't really call it a regulation. We just call it taxation. And in a bunch of other countries who are very polluting countries and say, well, do you want me to mine the environment or do you want a constant flow of cheap goods from me, Mark? Which is it? Well, let's take the cheap goods because we have a demand. We need that. Okay, so we'll go and take cheap goods. And then all those companies, Michael, right, had their exodus over the last many, many years. So it's not a it doesn't require for the American voter and consumer to there's a lot of connecting the dots, yes, but it doesn't require a great deal of rocket science to determine how it is that we got to this point. And that's a bipartisan thing, Larkin. It's not relegated to just one party. So I don't think Americans will disagree with you that we don't want to eat tuna fish sandwich that's going to make us glow in the dark. Right? We have to have consumer protection is actually one of the most unique things about the American economy compared to other parts of the world, guys. So,
well, Richard, you're absolutely right. There's something that I want to clarify because this is important, and I can tell you this as a fact, as in working in social services. The majority of the money that has gone into the national debt in the last 10 years has been directed to programs for the poor. And many of those dollars, I should say most of those dollars, are for working age and able-bodied people who have gone on food stamps, a CHIP, everything else, because they are not employed. Before that, 20 years ago, if you look at the debt clock, I'm looking at it right now as we speak. 20 years ago, we had double the amount of manufacturing jobs that we have in America right now. How is that possible? Manufacturing doesn't mean just standing on the line. You could be making anything. You could be standing, feeding the most important new technology machine that we have. We don't have that position here in America. That young person then has to be assisted by the government for their daily bread.
And the deal is, and Charles Barkley said this best, the deal is with the government creating all this taxation that was going to social programs is, guess what? These people are still poor.
Very poor.
They haven't recovered. They haven't improved their standard of living. They haven't done anything because the government I call it keeping them down on the farm. I mean, that's
right.
What they
and,
do.
You know,
they give them enough money so that they can at least eat and everything's fine, but they don't give them, or giving them a handout and not a hand up.
They put a mask on this for so long, but now in the last year or so, the mask has got too hot and they ripped the mask off in this last election and they said, let's see how things work without it being masked. I would like to see another 8 million jobs created in the next few years. And can it be done? Absolutely. Just as I said about this company in Bucks County, let them come back. It's only 60 employees, but 60 employees here, 50 employees there will add up to several million people. Mark, you're selling shirts made 100% made in America. At our stadiums in Philadelphia, they are selling shirts 100% foreign made. Just look at all the jobs at every stadium. out all over the country that could come back here making the products, the bobbleheads and everything else. Why would I want a bobblehead that's made in a foreign country when I would put a bobblehead of some player on my desk and say, look, this is made in America? It's not that way. We have got to continue to speak up, and that's what people like about our broadcast and about all of you guys. We behave ourselves when we have to and speak our opinion when we have to speak up.
You know, I hate to change the subject, but I just, as I was listening to what you said, remembered something that I saw on the television two mornings ago on CBS Morning News. They were interviewing Al Franken. I don't know if anybody saw that interview. But Al Franken was spewing his normal, you know, negativity and no positive side to what he was saying. And towards the tail end of the interview, Gail King or somebody asked him, are you interested in running for president in 2020? And he said, oh, well, this is only 2007. And she said, listen, if given the opportunity, would you run for president? And he said, you know what? I don't want to be president. And he said, but I'll tell you what I do want. I want five consecutive terms as a U.S. senator from Minnesota. And I thought, that's 30 years. That's 30 years of listening to one man spew law, whether I agree with it or not. That's just egregious.
That's why I agree with the term limits.
Oh, my God. 30 years he wanted. That's all he was asking for. Can I have 30 years of a job that pays $179,000 a year plus $1 million expense bogey? That's all he wants.
Oh, Lord. It's. I'll tell you one thing.
Larkin, he'll get it if he just runs. If he just continues to run. If he passes away and formaldehyde sticks to the seat, the Dems there will still vote for him. They'll still vote for him. If Clinton had been deceased on Election Day, which I'm not saying I wish for that, but I'm saying if she had been, she'd have gotten the same number of votes.
Yeah.
She'd have gotten the same number of votes. Yeah. I mean, she would have. Michael, do you remember, a quick point on dependency, do you remember when I came into Philadelphia and I showed you guys the ration ticket from my wife's family in Poland?
Yes, I do remember that.
That was handed out by the Soviet government. Yep. You get a certain amount of bread, certain amount of sugar, a certain amount of milk. Well, when you're on that ration ticket, the government is your God. The government is your mother, your father, your God, your provider. Mm-hmm. You will never, ever
go against
that God.
Right.
Go against that provider. Why? Because that provider is the one giving you those little crumbs of food and those little drops of milk and that water, Michael. That's why. So the big word for the Democrats right now is compassion. But let's be honest, what it really is, it's dependency. Well, Larkin, we're going to take care of your family forever. I just need one thing. I just need your vote. I just need your friends voting. I just need your family voting. So when Charles Barkley said that, and I'd like to get Charles Barkley on this show. I've been trying to reach him. I'm just giving a heads up in case he's listening now. I am going to ask Charles Barkley if he knows how many consecutive days Democrats have been in Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago, and some other places. And don't worry, Larkin, we'll get to some other cities that aren't Democrat. I mean, like, for example, 17,000 consecutive days in Baltimore. The last time Chicago had a mayor, not a D, was 30,000 consecutive days ago. 30,000. Now, do you guys think 30,000 days is enough time to know something doesn't work?
Yeah, you ought to be able to get something done in 30,000 days, I would think.
You think 17,000 days is enough time to know if something doesn't work?
And you're going to find one of the top 25 American cities that has a Republican government?
Gentlemen, I must take a few moments, 2 minutes, to acknowledge some very important people. And I ask that you all go out of your way this weekend to sponsor some of these events that we're having and also support your local businesses. And I have greetings and thanks to all for your supporting American Made, from Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, from Chester Kshanowski and all the staff at Serena's Auto Body Shop, from the PRCUA, Mr. Joseph Drobot, president, from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, as well as from Dr. Eva Machak, a great dental technician and doctor in Philadelphia. Best wishes also from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, and everyone from Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, as well as the Polish American Travel Service in Port Richmond. And Martin Bednarek, the president of Washington Savings Bank, invites all of you to bank at Washington Savings Kazimierz Wielki Bank. And best wishes also from Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio, attorney at law, and also from everyone from the Sugar House Casino located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in the city of Philadelphia. You can visit them 24 hours a day or visit them on the internet at sugarhousecasino.com. And Mr. Frank Spula, president of the Polish National Alliance, wishes all of you the very best, as does our well-known supporters from the Polish and Slovak Federal Credit Union. Check them out on the internet at psfcu.com. And this is the time of year you want to get something special for Dad or something special for the house. Kindly go to your internet site and visit madeinamericastore.com. In fact, you can go to the front page of American Workers Radio and click on Mark Andel's picture, and you'll be able to see exactly what Mark has available in his store. Also, I would want to encourage you to click on the link American Workers Radio. We have a great hit there from Mike Sessions from Go For Made in America. He's done an unbelievable job. I'm going to try to get him on for a few minutes next week to give us a full outline. He has done so much outstanding work bringing these new apps to the U.S. A market. You would not believe it. I mean, people are going to be so impressed when they see everything. I'm going to ask Henry and Rich and Larkin and Mark to all review the stuff that Mike Sessions is putting out there, because it's very good for all of us as supporters of the Buy American Made campaign and the American Made label. Larkin, final notes.
All joking aside, I give Mike Sessions kudos for his support for our movement and for the overall Made in America movement. But I'd like him to issue a withdrawal letter to all those that were copied on that email that had me retiring. I love you, Mike. And thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
God bless you all. And Mark.
Yep. You know, Mike, you always said, as a congressman, anybody called me. Chris Collins did call me last week. He's visiting this Friday. I'll bring you a full report. Got some attention coming up Friday. And again, just be positive and believe, I tell my listeners.
Believe and spend your hard-earned dollars on American Made and speak up. Don't be afraid to speak up. Dr. Rich Loges.
Michael, real quick, turn out, show up, action. Turn out, show up, action.
Absolutely. That's what makes it happen. You pull that wallet out and you say, no, I'm changing my mind because it's not, you don't have any comparable American-made products. That's what is really going to make it happen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys.
Have a great week, everybody.